Are we good?
I just said I was going to be waiting for you to be alive.
I was like feeling like I was going to burp. But
I thought you were just mimicking the intro thing. Like the little goblin thing.
I was really eager that we're going live.
All right.
Well, here we are.
We are live after like a month and a half.
Something like that.
Something like that. Yes. Well,
Joseph's already like he's been waiting for us for the last 15 minutes, hasn't he?
Hey. Okay, so
he's like our one fan that's
yeah,
always
our one
here.
Fan that's always here. Thank you for your support. All right, Lost Aspect episode
22. We're good at counting as
yes,
always.
We are.
Yep.
I've been banking. I should know how to count, but you know, whatever. We have a special cast today. There are the three of us, including someone who's in on Skype, our lovely friend Alex. I said three of us plus.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much. All right.
John's trying to mansplain again. Man.
Yes. All right. So, Alex, we normally just go down the line and introduce who we are and what we play, whatnot. So, let's start with Jackie since she's on that end.
All right. I'm Jackie and I play Signar.
That was short and sweet and to the point.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Uncommon.
I'm Casey and I sometimes play Legion.
Danielle, I play minions. I was gonna say hordes. I'm like, that is wrong.
I mean, it's still technically answer. Hordes, but.
Okay.
Oh my god.
What is going on?
The image.
I'm sneaking in at the bottom of the frame.
Oh, that's amazing. I love
that's
it.
Beautiful.
I'm going
to adjust that so
it's
going to be. Oh dear.
Anyway. I like the eyes peeking. That was
yeah, that's
like
perfect. That is a perfect picture.
Yep, that's my face.
Uh-huh. And who are you?
Hi, I'm Alex. I'm from London, and I play mercenaries.
We should put a chair over there.
Okay,
like
yeah. Sorry, Photoshop me in later. It's fine.
Oh, well, they're figuring it out. We'll just
no, we got your picture up there. It's all good.
Yeah, your picture's there.
We'll keep talking, and we'll just go with it. So, let's see. Announcements.
Next weekend is Champions at PEG.
You sound so excited
about
that. Minions at least has some okay options.
No. Nothing I play. Oh. No Rask. No. Everything I don't play. So it's like Helga, Jaga Jaga, Maelok, and then Midas, I think. So.
Jaga Jaga in the end? Because from the last I heard of it, I haven't been following the CID much, but it's been absolutely terrifying.
Well, she got buffed, and then she was OP, and then she got nerfed, and now nobody wants to play her. So, some people think she's fair. I don't know. We'll see how she turns. I don't really follow CID because...
Too much drama.
I don't like it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll just figure it out when it's over, but...
When it's over.
We'll see where
is it ever going to be over?
No.
At least the minions should be over.
Yeah.
And then we got
the only constant is change.
Yep. we got War Machine Weekend coming up.
Yep.
And then Game Hole Con.
Game Hole Con.
War Machine Weekend's in what, 3 weeks?
I think so.
Yeah.
I need someone to ninja me a shirt.
It's also known as Barbecue Weekend.
Looking at you, Jackie. Can I please get a shirt?
Oh, from War Machine Weekend? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, no problem.
I don't know. I need to see what the shirts are.
I mean, I could bring you home barbecue, too. That might be better than a shirt.
Yeah,
but I can't guarantee it won't be, like, bad or eaten by then. Yeah, it'll probably be eaten before
that's
it
my
goes
concern.
Bad.
I was just going to say, bring her back some of that pie. Bring me back some pie or cake, whatever the hell it was that John didn't bring me.
Oh, that's right. John still owes you from last year, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Are we talking about Sugar Fire?
Yes.
The place is amazing.
Well, the barbecue place.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I suppose.
Well,
I mean, I literally have like a barbecue budget set aside that's separate from the rest of the War Machine Weekend budget. Like, it's going to be glorious.
So, Sugar Fire is the barbecue place of St. Louis. Hayes Smokehouse in Illinois. That was damn good. You weren't there.
I wasn't there.
And you weren't there.
No,
but
we
I also
home,
know that everything that you like is terrible, Casey. So, I mean, I'm skeptical.
The entire group liked this.
Okay, okay. And Game Hole Con is the same weekend.
I did say that, Rick.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm. Yep. Hey, Rick.
I'm also not sure if I'm going to that either.
I don't know if John is, but I bought my tickets.
Wait, what?
He missed the deadline. Oh my for gosh. Registration.
He could just do what Keith does sometimes and just kind of go in anyway, you know?
Well, there's walk-up.
Yeah. Well, walk I know up there's walk-up, but too. Then you don't get, like, the you've been registered for the last 4 years. You get you all don't. This special stuff.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, Game Hole Con actually looks like it'll be fun if you can't make it to War Machine Weekend. That's in the Madison area.
Yep, Alliant okay, Energy. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
That's neat. I haven't seen that.
That is
happen.
That is Derek.
Hey, well, Derek. I like how it tells look you like that Derek. Somebody is watching. Sorry, we're amazed by Twitch. Yeah, the 5-year badge is actually like a ribbon and then a medal.
Oh cool. Man, I'm only on year 4. I feel dumb jelly.
I'm pretty stoked to be able to actually go to War Machine Weekend. My work schedule changed, so now I can actually make it, and it'll be the first time in at least 3 years, probably 4. So I think the last time I went was 2013. So I'm pretty excited about that. Mm-hmm. We're gonna LCQ this up.
Yeah,
that'll be fun. 6-round miserable tournament of hell. It's gonna be great.
War Machine Weekend sounds like a fantastic experience. Like, we were about to get it in the UK, but yeah, it was what SmogCon was going to turn into, and that fell through, which is sad, but I'm really jealous. I really want to get out there for that.
Was SmogCon going to be War Machine Weekend, or was it going to be the European Lock and Load?
It's called something else now. They changed
something
the
like that. Something Privateer Press official, right?
Yeah. The Lock and Load is a Privateer Press official one. War Machine Weekend's not Privateer Press official, though they mm-hmm. do. They have some presence there. I mean, it's an event about their game, so.
Because I heard that SmogCon, like, was going to be, I don't know, run by Privateer Press.
Yeah, it was going
to
be something
And then they
like that.
Decided to, I guess the guy that was running it decided to make it something else. So it's called something else. BonesCon. Mm-hmm.
That's what it is, yeah.
That's how I know, yeah. So, they're doing the same stuff. So they're doing all the things that they did at SmogCon, I guess, mm-hmm. but I don't know. I only followed it because they got interesting exclusives.
You should come sometime, though. It'd be a good time.
It's a lot of drinking involved.
It is a lot of. It's almost as much drinking as the WTC.
Oh my gosh.
And there is just
not again.
Yeah, War Machine Weekend was the most fun I think I've ever had at a con.
Mm-hmm.
Because all I really care about is War Machine anyway, so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there is, if you don't care about War Machine, but you do like the people, there is a board game pass, just like a Friends and Board Games one, too, where you don't have to play any of the tournaments, so.
A lot of people are doing that in the hallway.
Yeah,
or the hall before the actual area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. After that, I don't know.
Who's the boss? Who's the boss on the 9th, I believe it is, of December, and that'll be in Milwaukee at the best venue ever, the Elks Lodge. Casey and John can tell you all about how great that venue is. Casey especially loves it. When she has to come pick up her drunk husband who's had
far
30 shots
many.
Or however many it was.
Actually been there.
No.
But she knows of it.
I know of it.
You should come this time then. It is legitimately like one of my favorite venues for a thing, so.
We'll see what work brings me, because I'm always working.
It's like, it's dirt cheap for drinks. It's great.
I noticed, or else John wouldn't have gotten shit-faced. He would have been like, oh, shit, I just spent $100 on 3 drinks. I probably shouldn't do that anymore.
Oh, yeah, instead it was, oh, shit, I spent $100
on 50
30
drinks.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Oh, but the videos that came from that.
Oh, my God. Oh, the videos.
I mean, I played Drunk Machine all day on $20. It was great.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, there's that. And I think that's it for announcements.
Yeah, the ATC is coming up, but that's not until January.
Well,
yeah.
War Machine announcements anyway.
Oh, yeah, you have an announcement, Danielle.
You have an announcement,
okay.
Silly lady.
So I found out the gender of my baby, and I'm having a girl, so.
Yay!
She's been giving me hell and waking me up at 3 a.m. kicking me, and it's been
great. It's only a taste of what's to come, dude.
It's like, let me sleep. Like, I'll be wide awake, and I'm like, okay, I guess I'm not going back to bed now.
Well, the best part is, once the baby's actually here, is it gets worse from there, but you only have to deal with half of it.
Well, at least then, yeah, I don't have to be
You could just kick Aaron out of bed and say, your turn. Can't do that when he's still inside.
Take care of this.
Yeah.
So we just got asked who the floating square is, and that is our picture of Alex, who you will hear throughout our cast. She is Skyping through.
Mm-hmm. You know, up in the peanut gallery. But yeah. Sorry.
Oh. You feel free to pitch in, you know, just, you know, pipe up whatever, you
know. Oh, totally. If you guys want to know about any London events as well, London and UK.
Sure, may as well. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, Cross Gaming Club, which is one of the big gaming clubs in London for War Machine, is just starting up a new Masters series. It's going to be 16-man tournaments, a series of four of them for a Crown of King in the South. That's the first one is running in 2 weeks' time. It's sold out, but the next of the series tickets should be going up soon. That's in the Horse and Stables pub outside of Lower Marsh. Come along. It's a really great venue. It's a really great bunch of people, and it's a little bit of a Shark Tank meta, so it's time to bring your A game there.
Is that the pub where there's the pub in the basement and then the second floor is where the actual gaming area is, where the tables?
Oh, no. That was the ship and it's moved on from there.
Oh, that's too bad.
But yeah.
Okay.
It's really lovely. It's still over the top of the pub. Mm-hmm. The majority of gaming, at least in London and the UK, is not necessarily based around gaming stores, but more around social clubs and things like that. It's just in terms of space and venues and things.
Yeah, when we were visiting London last year, actually, we actually really enjoyed that it wasn't game shop centric so much as it was pub centric, and it was it would be kind of cool to bring that model over to this area. Actually, I thought, but that's just us.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And nothing goes better together like beer and War Machine, right?
Absolutely.
This place now, the new venue, does cocktails. And just, yes? Sorry. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's happening. Otherwise, we've got Blood and Oil coming up, which is a big, I think it's a 120-man tournament. It's a really, really great one up in Leicester. If you can, go to it. But yes, this is all for the UK-centric meta.
Okay.
But yeah, mm-hmm. So that's about it from London.
Awesome.
We got a question from Rick. Said thoughts on the mini crate minis now that we've seen the new Swamp Horror and Gormandy Wolf in Sheep's Clothing. I did forget to bring my box.
I didn't bring mine either, but I do have a very major complaint about the box.
Okay.
It shakes everything. There is absolutely no packing whatsoever in that box.
Oh, so I wonder if the models get broken in the mail.
No, mine was fine.
But like, I didn't even open it. I just shook it and model pieces were just flying.
Okay, so mine was in the plastic blister, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then around the blister there was cardboard packaging, so it would not move.
Yeah.
How does yours move?
I don't know. I'll have to actually open it.
Okay.
I was not amused with the packaging.
The only the thing that I wasn't happy, there was a tiny sticker keeping it closed.
Yes, that.
And I'm like, oh my god, like this could easily just get cut and then open.
Yeah.
But I mean, honestly, the insides were very secure. Yeah. It's just the seal was not
so secure. I'll have to actually open it when I'm home later.
Yeah, but like Joseph, mine had the keeper, so the blister didn't move. And they had, I haven't opened it yet, but there was foam on the inside too, so they're all together.
Mm.
So it's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm. I'll find out.
I'll open mine.
In the meantime, on the actual minis, I thought the Swamp Horror was still cool. She's still obviously a little...
Eh.
I mean, yeah.
The whole series is. So.
Yeah.
She's the sexiest model that Minion has, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah,
that's true.
I actually did like the Swamp Horror.
I love her.
She's well sculpted. She looks nice.
She's a giant lady. Like, next to Gorman, I'm like, holy shit, she's like Alexa.
I mean, she's a freaking octopus.
I guess. And, some people online were commenting about the mold lines, and luckily I got away with something pretty decent because she doesn't have a lot of mold lines on her. You do have to attach her arm. She has one arm unattached. Okay, the Doc Croc, I don't consider that sexy, Jim. She's not sexy. She looks like a little kid, in my opinion. The exclusive.
Oh, the keg one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, what's a BILF? What does the B stand for?
Targ is a total BILF.
I don't know.
Wait. Targ is a total BILF. Is he talking? I don't know what Rick's talking about.
I don't know
about.
What either of them are talking about anymore.
Well, Jim's saying not the cosplay.
Yeah, that's
kind of
what I was wondering, actually. Boy or boar for the BILF. That's... One of those things is more fucked up than the other.
But, Jim, the original Doc Croc is a alligator. Alligators are not sexy.
You're challenging people now.
And then, of course, the dire wolf in sheep's clothing was... yeah.
I just found it distasteful, to be perfectly honest with you. It's
very.
You know, whatever.
The art... didn't make it look like Tits McGee, but when you look at the model, she's got some big balloons.
Oh, I assumed since she was zipping down the model, it was going to be Tits McGee, so.
Yeah, it didn't show that much, like, oomph, and then you look at the side and it's like, yep, those are big.
Yeah.
The model is very detailed, though. Like, it's got a lot of detail to it, which I was kind of surprised by that. But
sure.
Other than that, yes, says the gator player. What? I don't know what Jim's talking about. Jaga Jaga's not sexy. She's a gator.
I didn't even know Jaga Jaga was female until you said so.
Oh my gosh, really?
Like, no.
Well, I put her in the right section with my picture. I'm still working on it.
Yeah.
But, never mind. But in the box, too, you also get a $10 coupon to use in the PP store.
Okay.
So that's helpful to use, because now they actually, I looked online yesterday, they're doing free shipping over $49 orders.
Oh, okay.
So I think I'm going to get some Christmas presents.
Yeah, we were thinking about getting a Bane UA again, I think, which you can only get now from parts ordering, because why would you be able to order one by yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the thing that I was disappointed with the mini crate, I guess I was expecting bigger things for the art. I don't know why, like... Mm. I expected maybe something smaller than that, but bigger than the size of a card.
Sure.
But I think if it would have been cooler if they made it like a playing deck card so that, you know, you collect them all. That would have been great. Because they're like playing card size, mm-hmm. so it's like, okay, I can't really frame this because it's really tiny. Mm-hmm. So it's just a piece of paper.
Yeah.
But the box is neat, too. They put some print on the box, made it actually look like a box.
Like a crate.
Yeah, like a crate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Again, the main thing with that one is that they just had that little round sticker to keep it closed.
Yeah.
It didn't come in another box. It was just that.
Why would you ship a box in another box?
Because that's what every other company does. Oh gosh, literally sometimes we get massive boxes just to ship a small box of ink.
Yeah, I always thought that was a lot dumber than
but
so yeah, mini crates. I mean, that's kind of a good segue into our other topic, I guess. So I started a dumpster fire on Facebook, and every now and then, you know, the dumpster fire would start to get cold, so we had to throw another log back on. And,
yep.
It's on our Facebook group page.
We did not delete it. We want to be out there for everyone's enjoyment.
Yeah, it was basically juxtaposing GW's acknowledgement of the fact that they need more female models, and they need to be realistic female models compared to what PP is functionally doing by making the mini crates. So, GW had this nice long paragraph about how they were planning on making it closer to 50-50 as far as male-female, keeping bodies realistic, things like that, basically. It was a very well-written post on their part, just on their Facebook page. It's publicly available. Or you can just look at the screen cap of it on our Facebook page. And then just I took a picture of one of the ads for the mini crates that was just three relatively detailed-looking pictures of the three models that are coming out. It's the Gorman DeWolf, the Swamp Horror, and I think the third one was not Ragman. What was the third sculpt? Yeah, it was the Piper. That's right.
Yeah.
It was those three up close with all the details, and it was just shadows of their supposed Beefcake cosplay ones. But there's no, it's just a shadow of them. There's no detail in it. And it was just kind of making clear what it is that they're advertising their product is going to be. So we put a picture of those two things next to each other up on Facebook, and the shitstorm started. It was great.
Oh, was it a shitstorm indeed.
That was the most comments and views we've ever gotten.
The most. Ever. And the most negative.
Yeah, this is comments. We've generally actually been pretty fortunate, I think, in how we're received, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. But when it certainly comes to sex, fuck everything.
Yeah. We've generally been pretty well received as far from my perspective at least. I was expecting something like Gamergate things to happen to us, but they haven't so far, which is telling of the community. We have a good general community, but this kind of lit the shitstorm on fire.
Yeah. There's no way to even sum that shitstorm up.
It was mostly just a couple of individual people. Yes. It was three or four individual people that just would not let go of.
And these people, we also question why they like Lost Aspect Page.
Well, it's like, why do you, that's what I was, like, as this is going on, I'm like, do these people even watch our podcast?
I'm sure they don't.
Yeah. Holy shit. You would be commenting before this, and I just, it's disheartening, I guess, seeing all that stuff, because it's just like...
It was extremely toxic, unfortunately, yeah. And we don't really enjoy that.
I mean, there was a fair amount of support there, too, to be fair. I feel it's kind of unfair to paint everything in a negative light, because there were a couple of people that were very loud that were negative, but the majority of people were positive. Like, I'm actually going to read a couple of the comments. One of them said, Minicrete just looks like cheesecake stuff, which I don't want on the table for just playing a game. It's just awkward and juvenile. So, I mean, there's that. You know, there's a lot of support here. And there are some, you know, there are some dissents that were well reasoned. Like one of the people was a pro painter, and they wanted models that they can show how to paint the female face and female skin on. And you need models that do show skin to be able to do that. That's reasonable.
Reasonable, but we kind of prefer that not to be War Machine.
Sure, people, right? Sure. I mean, you can do that with Kingdom Death.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, Kingdom Death, you're set for life.
Yeah, I mean, I love the Kingdom Death models. They're very...
Like, I know they're very disproportionate, but you know they mean to.
Yeah, it's an intentional thing, and that's just the way that their art is. And it's not just females that are disproportionate. There are some really beefcake men on there, too. And I'm totally on board with that.
Oh, man, they had some busts for, like, coming out models at Gen Con. Mm-hmm. Oh, I posted those. Those were beautiful.
They are. They're extremely well done sculpts, too, is the thing. It's both a skill thing on Kingdom Death's part, and it's just everything is that way. It's not just one particular demographic that's that way.
Yeah.
But
I absolutely get that at a heroic scale sculpt, it's always going to be somewhat difficult to get sexual dimorphism in a model. And so to a certain extent, dimorphic traits are over-exaggerated. But still, there's a way in which doing it tastefully, and there's a way in which doing it in an overtly sexualized way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A good example would be Steamforged.
Mm-hmm. Steamforged does a great job, actually.
Yes.
When you pointed that out in our chat, I was actually went through and looked at some of their models and was very pleasantly surprised. I had never really, because it's not in my face, it just never occurred to me with them.
Yeah, no, they do a very good job. I mean, depending on the guild that it is, like the fishermen, for example, you know, they go fishing. They don't need a lot of clothes.
No, not really.
So, you know, you do see a little more skin there, but when you move over to... You know, some of, like, the engineers, for example, and things.
Oh, yeah, you can,
they're
yeah.
They're pretty fully clothed and, you know, not too
even
too
the farmers are
farmers.
Not.
The farmers.
They're wearing farm clothes.
They do a very, very good job of proportioning, in my opinion, anyway.
Well, something interesting that kind of came out. Do you want to talk about your Excel document that you're working on?
Oh, yeah. It's still kind of a work in progress, and we'll eventually post it up when it's finished. But I made an Excel document. It's very, very two-dimensional, and it's absolutely subjective. So it's every female model that I could easily find in the game. I think there was like 150, 175, something like that. I just put in sexualized yes, no, a point for yes, or a point for no. And then what year they are sculpted in. And we just basically just ran a tally of how many are sexualized, how many are not. And sexualized being defined as disproportionate body images, whether they are designed to be sexually provocative, like Anastasia Debray's artwork, for example, is sexually provocative, where her her sculpt is not necessarily. And then it was just a tally of whether they were, whether they're not, and how many are and how many aren't. And we found that roughly 2/3 of the female ones were sexualized and about 1/3 were not. And certain factions were better about having the sexualized models versus not. Legion, for example, anybody could glance at Legion and see that it's mostly sexualized figures.
Yep.
Signar was surprisingly good, actually. Signar was very good. Kador was very good as well, as far as keeping things more...
Conservative.
There we go. That's a good word.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think Scorn is too, because half Scorn you can't even tell they're female.
Yeah, no, well, Scorn and Scorn I almost wanted to exclude because they're not designed to be humans.
They're
is the
people,
thing.
Jackie. Yeah.
Scorn are people too.
Because I remember I was talking to Aaron about it and it's like, yep, that one's female. And he's like, really?
I was like, well, you can tell they're female. Yeah. It's just
A lot of people don't, because even I'll tell, somebody will, when I was playing Scorn, they'll be like, I'll attack him. I'm like, you mean her? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would correct them on it too, because it's like,
that's
she
the thing
boobs.
And to a certain extent, it shouldn't matter whether they're male or female. You shouldn't, you don't necessarily need to be able to tell that.
Yeah,
you know. So
just say but them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny though, because it's like I think it was, I can't remember who made the comment, but somebody was like that. The models need to be sexualized so that you can tell if they're male or female.
Oh yeah, Doug Hamilton's been on that train, and that's like his justification. We got into a big debate on the Crix page, the Crix Facebook page, about that with the, I think it was some of the Satixus models and the resculpts for the Satixus Raiders. But yeah, that was his defense, and I was not the only person who called him out on that, so I was very proud of us. But
yeah,
us as a community of War Machine players, not just us on the podcast. But
yeah, you don't.
I'm sorry. They don't need to be as big as your head to be able to tell that they're there.
Right.
Yeah. Really.
And it really doesn't matter in the end of the day.
It really doesn't.
If it's female or not.
Well, like the Raiders, I get being sexualized because they're literally sirens. They seduce people and they rape them and make them into their servants. That is their backstory. And their fluff, basically. So I mean, I get making some of them sexualized where it makes sense. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But Gorman DeWolf, come on.
Yeah.
I don't like the pajama. I can't think of what they're called. It's like some...
Yeah, the feety pajamas.
No. There's a name for it. It's like a cosplay thing.
Onesies?
No. It starts with a K. But it's a popular cosplay thing. So instead of actually cosplaying, you make like a onesie thing.
Are you talking about the furries?
No.
Gorman DeWolf is totally a furry,
totally,
by the way.
It's totally separate from a furry. But I think that's where it kind of came from, where... they saw that people cosplay that, so like they'll do Pikachu or Eevee or shit like that. And
there's the Morgul. You were the one who pointed the Morgul out when we were first making the sex with Danielle.
Those are like the only sexy bitches in Scorn.
Yeah, those are the only two that we actually found that were sexy in Scorn. So
Makeda, she doesn't have a lot going on.
I mean, frankly, given what Morgul's all about, I'm okay with that one.
I was okay with them too. It's like, you know what? They don't have anything.
No,
so
that's what they're there for, is to be the sexiest bitches in Scorn.
And they'll fuck you up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's where the Gorman DeWolf thing came from, is because of these, I'll have to find the name of it, but it's these cosplayers, what they do. So like comfortable pajamas.
Sure. Yeah.
But that's still like, oh, I'm cosplaying as Pikachu and I'm cute and I'm not totally sexy, but.
Sure.
Yeah.
They turn that into being sexy.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I just assume somebody was like a closet furry at PP, and that's where that came from. So.
I think they have a deep obsession with people cosplaying their shit, to be honest. I think they want people to cosplay, and they make these models to try and fulfill
that.
You can try
and cosplay as that model,
right.
You know.
Like, let's give you an idea.
Yeah.
Do
this.
We'll
cosplay this thing. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Okay. Well, let me do that with my size zero titties. Okay.
I mean, they're not inverted. You don't have, like, indents in your chest.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair. You're working on that.
Something interesting. Usually this wouldn't have bothered me so much, but with being pregnant, I'm kind of in a rage mode. Totally not chill, but I started to look into, like, where did boob armor come from? Like, how did this even come about?
Mm-hmm. That is the one thing I really liked about what GW said, is they're phasing out boob armor completely.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah.
Huh.
or they're going. That's what they claim they're going to do at least. So we'll see if it happens or not. But just them acknowledging the boob armor part of things is nice too. But anyhow.
But yeah, sorry, Aaron caught me off guard because he's like pissy. I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely. I've been a lot pissier.
If this is you pissy, like you must be like a saint.
I think I am. Like normally, like I'm just like nothing bugs me, and then it's just. At one point, I was crying, and yeah, it was terrible. But I found this article from the Smithsonian that talked about boob armor and, you know, how realistically women wouldn't wear that in...
Oh, that'd be a fantastic thing to link.
In battle? Because it's like... And I think...
Well, I mean, it diverts a sword or a weapon attack into your sternum. Like, that's exactly where you don't want to have...
Like, if you took
the
blow,
brunt of your force.
Yeah. It would be fatal.
Yeah.
Rather than if your chest was... You know, the armor was flat, it would just deflect.
And it wouldn't be, like, a quick fatal, either. That's a fatal by, like, one of your lungs decompressing. That's a really horrible way to die.
Yeah. And then Megan was talking, she responded to somebody, too, about, you know, like, if you're in battle and you're moving and, like, your boobs shift.
Yeah.
And you get pinched.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, wait, guys.
Attack of opportunity right there.
Boob, I gotta adjust it a little bit. Yeah. But that would be awful.
So I'm a little... Okay, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'm a little bit of a historical European martial arts nerd, and this is something that gets me raging no end, is seeing that, because the divot in the center of the armor, it's one, a blade catch and arrow trap, but also it'll break your sternum. And when I do fighting with proper contact and steel swords, I do have to bind my boobs down. Because otherwise it's just way too painful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what people do. And if anything, you should have a peek out at the front, which acts as a deflection for thrusts.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but at this point, we're now talking about fantasy armor and realistic armor. And that is, yeah, God knows why, where they get the idea that pauldrons are a thing. But yes, I don't know. I find it fascinating, especially in terms of the fact that historically you've got... massively strong female fighters all the way through history. Like, you've got Walpurgis, who is mentioned in a couple of historical manuals and things like that. But yeah, I don't know. I always find it utterly fascinating to see the way that pop culture has brought this sort of style of things into the mainstream and how terrible the designs are with regards to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it was just kind of interesting that...
Rick says Alex is fueling my belief that all people in Europe still engage in medieval combat. That just
absolutely
makes me want to...
It's sieges and tea. Sieges and tea. Nothing but sieges and tea.
I really want to move to England now, I have to be honest. Like, we've been talking about expatting from this madness, and... I get that England's madness is not much better, but if you've got sieges and tea, I'm in.
Any leads on the chainmail bikini while looking into boob armor?
I don't know what Jim's asking about.
Hey, did you see anything about chainmail armor? Like,
I mean, a chainmail bikini would pinch your nipples, and it just sounds awful.
Oh my god, that would hurt so bad.
You know what?
You need to wear like pasties first.
Yeah, they make the rubber chains now. I saw this when we were at the Ren Fair, because there's this awesome chainmail place at Gen Con too. But she does chops. And she pretty much does the normal chainmail, but then she interlaces the rubber ones.
Oh, are they like rubberized links?
Yeah, so that it's not chafing. Yeah. You know, or anything, it's more comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to learn how to do that.
That sounds really
cool.
It's
actually very easy. I can teach you how if you like.
I know how to chainmail.
Oh, okay, never mind then.
But if you want, like, gender-neutral battle wear, is a chainmail skirt will do you. Everyone wore chainmail skirts.
Oh, that's fair.
So,
suppose you don't want stuff getting pinched. You know, if you had chainmail pants, everybody would get pinched. But
I mean, a nice mini chainmail number, it's quite good on a night out. I mean, Brixton is bad, but you know.
Okay, so it'll be done in an hour.
Okay. we just got told our time limit by Andy.
Yeah.
It just turns out that this stupid...
is it like an update?
It's an update, and I haven't updated it in a while.
Oh.
Yeah, historical minis don't get bayonets either.
Yeah, I never understood how trenchers get brutal charge on a bayonet. That just doesn't make any sense.
I mean, rifles are kind of heavy.
Kinda.
And when you've got all the weight behind in the thrusting, I guess it's like a polearm.
I guess. I can kinda buy that. Plus two seems like a lot, though.
Yes. I agree. So, yeah, do you want to read more of our shitstorm at all, or?
Not particularly.
Not particularly. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it was a dumpster fire. I got to be the Sith Lord of the podcast and just keep adding to it for a few couple of days, so that was pretty entertaining. But, but yeah, that's kind of our sexualized versus not mini project we kind of worked on a little bit.
Yeah. I'm currently working on a PowerPoint, basically, with just the pictures of every female character possible that I see, because all of them.
Oh, Denny's battle thong.
Yes.
it seriously just looks like a chastity belt.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. But yeah, when I was just going through them, there were quite a few. It's just like, is that a woman? Is that not a woman? Mm. I can't freaking tell.
Mm-hmm.
But so
gender neutral soldiers, hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they are included.
But the other thing I like too is like some people just would not stop either. Like they wouldn't.
Oh gosh,
they
yeah.
just would not get it.
And they could not.
Yeah,
get it.
There are some
you
people that
finally got to that one person.
That
like,
one guy
after eight conflicts,
and that was only after I reminded him that I have personally met him.
I think,
and I have personally played him.
Yeah.
When you make it real,
yeah,
it's like, oh, I can't hide behind this.
Yeah, no,
anymore.
Not really.
Then we got called stupid. That was great.
That was just by a troll. I really wanted to, it was somebody with a Russian name, so I really just wanted to yell fake news at him.
Oh gosh, but yes.
At least GW's trying, I guess.
That was
just
our
the
main
fact
point.
That they acknowledged
yeah.
it.
That was our point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're trying.
The fact that they acknowledged it and said, "Hey, we realize this is a problem," is so much more than PP has done.
Yeah. Yeah.
To me, it feels like PP is doing the exact opposite, and they're trying to double down on this to sell models, and it's, I think it's shitty, to be perfectly frank.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be about money. I mean, I think that's the only reasoning
behind
it.
I'm sure it is.
But then it made me think about other things, too. Like, Zosha had to change the rule book, so instead of saying he everywhere,
yeah.
she changed it to they.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, it's something as little as that.
Yeah, it's really, and it's all really simple, stupid stuff, yeah. you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, how hard would it be to, it would be easier to sculpt non-boob armor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's
flat.
Just flat.
Just
yeah.
gotta take a knife to it and
And that one caterer model that's coming out, the attachment? Do you guys
remember
that?
Which one?
I don't know. She's wearing black. I just, caterer, they're all the same to me.
That's true.
Mm.
But that model, she is completely flat, but you can tell it's a woman. Like,
yeah.
her hair and her
oh,
face.
That one. I remember which yeah. one we're talking about
And
now.
It's like, that is great. Mm-hmm. That is
yeah,
awesome.
It's perfectly
That's
fine.
Very realistic.
Yeah.
And I can still tell it's female. Mm-hmm. So, good job there, I guess.
In yeah. the meantime, they're putting out pinups in the mini carts.
Yep.
I wouldn't, like, Legion needs some help.
I mean, I was impressed that Legion had, like, three models that weren't.
Yeah, Abby, right? Abby
won, not Abby 2.
Won.
Not
yep.
Abby 2.
Not
she,
Abby
part of Abby 2's metamorphosis was growing more
Oh, my gosh. Like, I made a point to myself, like, okay, Abby is ugly as fuck in number one.
Bethane. Bethane.
Yeah, Bethane was also yeah. ugly. But then her waist is freaking teeny tiny.
It is.
And then Abby 2, it was just crazy how she went from this fairly gruesome, ugly character to sexy, badass, flying thing.
Sure.
It's like the story of the ugly duckling.
It pretty much. Pretty much.
The but, ugly warlock.
Yeah. I think Vale was the only other one.
Vale?
Probably.
No, Vales were both.
Well, they were big,
Vales
but
are
she
both
was at
like
least mostly clothed.
Yeah, compared to the rest of the
compared
Legion, Vale is not
of
the
them,
worst ever. I think
yes.
I still put Vale down as a yes, but yeah, when you're comparing to the Liliths and the like the Nis, it's yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I forget if the Bladed Sorceress with Hellion was or not.
She should have been.
Yeah, because she's hanging. Everything's
she's
hanging.
Out.
Yeah.
She's hanging.
She's hung.
Yeah.
The thing about the mini crate is I would be so much more on board if they just evened it out a little bit. Like, I really, really want the sculpt now of Vlad with just his shoulder pads on and just a man thong on.
Oh, from
striking
that, from
a pose.
That picture, that t-shirt.
Oh, that was Butcher, actually.
That was Butcher.
Yeah.
That's right.
But yeah, that was a great piece of artwork, too. That was that was from the WTC, the Volunteers guy shirt with on the back. It had Butcher and somebody from Guild Ball. I don't know who. And they're, you know, and Butcher is just, like, in this man thong, and he's hanging out with his friend from Guild Ball, who's also very, you know, overtly sexualized. Mm-hmm. And that was a great piece of artwork, though. It was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron said, you can sell me the sexy version of Alton Ashley all day. I love the Van Helsing redo. I do like that model, but it's not, to me, it's not overtly sexy like the other models.
No, it's
are.
Not sexy.
It's
I mean,
just, it's
Van
cool.
Helsing wasn't sexy either.
Yeah.
So.
It's cool. Like, I think it's neat, but it's sure. not, like, here's my panties.
Yeah, whereas the Vlad one with just the enormous shoulder pads and the huge codpiece on, there's my
there
panties.
There you go.
I want an Irisk one with you can keep your hat on. Because that hat is awesome.
I'd be on board with that.
Got a whole Sansu Art of War thing going on, you know. I think he's a bit of a silver fox. He would totally do it for me.
Those pinups from WTC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my god, those were great.
They were
those
really were good, great. Yeah.
I totally wanted to buy the Dahlia and Scarath.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I was just like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, most of those were just team shirts, aside from the one that was the volunteers. Yeah.
I really want it.
Mm-hmm.
Can someone get it for me? Because I will pay you.
Someone over there must be a screen printer that can do it all for them for fairly
sure,
cheap.
Yeah.
I think whoever that... Brian told me who the artist was.
Yeah.
Oh, but... Aaron's... John's full of shit. He drops his panties at things.
Aaron, you also don't wear panties, but that's a different story.
Are you sure? I do know of some men that wear silky women's underwear just because they're silky and they feel nice against your balls. That's what I've been told, at least.
They do feel nicer, I mean.
Yeah, they're comfortable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas, and they look nice.
There's apparently fancy boxer briefs for women now that are like $38 a pair.
I mean... I've considered starting up a business of silky underwear designed with men in mind, you know? I mean, if they're silky and they're comfortable and you like mm-hmm. them, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, that's actually totally a thing. there is a company out there. I'll see if I can find the link and I'll share it. Yeah, no, that's totally a thing. Designed for male bodies, including completely flat training bras as well. Huh? You know, when you both want to wear lingerie in bed.
Sure. I mean, yeah. I know plenty of men that genuinely need a bra, so I mean, that's fine. I mean, we're gamers. We all know of a man who genuinely needs a bra, you know? It's...
And a belt.
And a belt. I mean, you gotta have the support, you know?
gotta keep them pants up.
Yep.
Saying.
Oh, speaking of keeping pants up, oh, that's a good segue into the WTC. So we did, on the Saturday night of the WTC before the final started, we did a human pyramid while all of us were drunk. And I don't remember this part because I don't remember a lot of that part. I think I was second to top tier. And I, in order to get up, this is being retold to me by Norbert, who was also on Alex's team at the WTC and was super sweet. But apparently in order to get up onto the human pyramid, I had to grab onto somebody's belt and like yank their pants halfway down just as an arm hold to, and I...
Oh,
made a lot
dear.
Of people really uncomfortable, I guess.
Do you want to talk any more about... I guess you both can talk about WTC.
Yeah. No, yeah, Alex, you started about the WTC. She was actually, like, on a team.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was on Team England. Team England Knights. Absolutely fantastic bunch of guys. We got all the way to the semifinals. We started... winning and kept on winning, and it was a bit scary at that point. Then we were on the stream, and half of the semi-final, half of the four were England teams, England 1 and England 3. We were we were so close to living the dream of an All England final. But our opponents in Germany, we were up against Norway Hugin. Was it Union? But yeah, no, one of the Norway teams anyway. And they were utterly brilliant. All of my games that weekend. 2017 is difficult. 2017 made all of my games go to seven rounds, and I was playing Thexus as well, so it was utterly exhausting. But yeah, no, it was absolutely brilliant. We played a bunch of people. We didn't really get to play anyone apart from the Europeans, though, which was a shame. But yeah, no, it was a fantastic experience. Because you competed in the Solo Masters, didn't you?
Yeah, I did the Solo Masters. And I went 2 wins, 3 losses, I believe, which was a lot better than I expected I would do, since I am still, like, basically relearning my own rules. So... But yeah, no, that was actually a lot of fun. There was another girl from the U.S. that made it to the semifinals as well, Kat. She came with Mike Ireland, I think it was. And she was fantastic. There were a couple of other female players there as well. I think there was one from France, one from Germany that I recall. If I recall, the Russian team had a female player as well, which was pretty sweet. So there's some more representation that's happening, and that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my first ever international event or first ever tournament where I was fully out and as a visible trans woman, and it just felt like such a wonderful and welcoming environment. Everybody that I talked to was really, really lovely, and my team was so supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that as well, and part of the motivation for coming out and doing this sort of thing was very much hearing Lost Aspect for the first time. Because hearing female voices within the War Machine community, especially in the UK, where female representation is virtually non-existent within the War Machine scene, it was really, really, really important. And then being able to go in and kick ass and not have gender be any part of it was just, yeah, fantastic. We were living the dream, and I didn't quite... I was waiting for the other shoe to drop. We really submarined our way up.
Yeah, no, you guys were really one of the underdog teams that made it a lot farther than, from what I had overheard other people saying, a lot farther than anybody expected. So good for you guys. Yeah. You guys did awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's cool here.
I don't know what sort of bits and pieces about the WTC do you guys want to talk about? Because, I mean, there was the games, there was the meta, there was the
shirts.
The shirts were fantastic.
The
jerseys
are always great, yeah.
Someone asking if there was Guild Ball there.
Yeah, Guild Ball was happening there as well.
They have their own WTC.
They're participating in the WTC. It's just a common event for the both. I didn't play any Guild Ball myself. I've played one of the... where they introduce you to the game, the Battle Box game, basically, of Guild Ball, and that's it myself. So I didn't play, and I don't imagine you likely had much time to play Guild Ball, did you, Alex?
No. Although I know one of the people on the dev team there. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get even a... I've never played it before in my life, and I was looking to get a Sunday demonstration game, but in the end, it didn't end up happening.
Yeah, the dev team was there, and I had dinner with the dev team, actually, with Keith and a couple of other people, and they're really cool people, actually. I really enjoyed talking to them about both their game and just the gaming in general. They're good people.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that really is the fun of the WTC, and really any tournament, is that almost always it seems like the people that are there are really, really great to talk to and just hang out with, throwback a drink with, and just have a good time, you know? It's not necessarily always about whether you win the tournament or how well you do, as much as it is a social event, so...
Mm. Yeah, that and the hideous amount of drinking. Like,
yes. Oh, God.
There were some really great Belgian beers, but
yeah,
I couldn't keep up with the Norwegians.
No. Jesus. I have not been that drunk since I was like 19. So,
<Yeah. Oh my god, and the guy that was wandering around with the drinking horn that was half filled with beer and spirits and...
some soda, no. I think, when he found that. And yeah, he just... and anybody who had an unfinished drink was at risk of having his unfinished drink thrown into the horn.
Oh my god.
Kind of like the horn that's sitting right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you had to take a drink from the drinking horn.
Oh, wow.
I had an out because some of it was beer. So I didn't have to suffer from the drinking horn, but... the Swedish watch machine team, they came in these onesies, and their team jersey was the onesie, and it looked like it was like a half-drunk beer. And they were wearing some interesting things underneath those. I got a picture of, it wasn't Ricard, it was the other one with, I think it was like a lacy teddy that he was wearing underneath.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Ricard, I don't think Ricard had anything on underneath at all, because I have a picture of him like unzipped too, showing off. The Swedish wash machine team was great. Ricard as a person is an amazing human being.
Does
too.
He play
I adore
minions?
Him.
I think.
Huh?
No. Does he play Minions?
I don't remember what he plays. I'm not sure that he does still play. I met him on MuseOnCon earlier this summer though, and he was. I remember just bringing him into. We brought him into a liquor store, just like a Hy-Vee, you know. And he was like a little kid in a candy store. It was just like he was just appalled and like delighted at the sheer amount of alcohol that was just in this normal Hy-Vee. Like
should have taken him to Woodman's.
I know. They don't have Woodman's in Des Moines, unfortunately.
Oh
yeah, I know. Woodman's is the best.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, he was. He just had like this childlike expression on his face, and it was amazing.
There's something else I was going to mention about WTC. Oh, I heard the Americans weren't really happy. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, it was just because they underperformed, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know Keith subbed in for Jay Larson, who had problems getting there. I don't really know what the specifics on that are. But I know Keith was pleased with himself. He went 6-0, but he's the rest of the teams did not as well as they were expecting, particularly against what seems to be a stronger European meta than the US meta is right now.
Mm-hmm.
So the US has had a lot of the top tier players that have kind of dropped off, like Tom Guan's not really playing anymore. We've had a bunch of other people that just aren't playing the game anymore. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I heard there was kind of some. I don't want to say turmoil, but like just overall kind of wishy-washy of what's going to happen next year.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of sounded like, I don't know if we're going to do it anymore or again.
Well, part of it is also that it's expensive to go there from the U.S. So, I mean, there is some, you know, there is some segregation as far as income and stuff like that is concerned with whether you can go to the WTC or not, just because it's expensive to go. It's expensive to stay there, and it's expensive to come back. So, you know, it's hard to do that. What's that?
Sorry, I was about to say, and the problem is it's probably not ever going to come out to the States either, purely because of the sheer amount of expense it would take for the rest of the world to come to there. And they do try to make it as cheap as possible, or at least easy to get to as possible. But it would be a shame to see the States drop out, because at least within the podcasting world and the amount of effort that you guys put into getting word about the game out there and bumping it up, it'd be a shame to see that kind of disappear. The Canadians did pretty damn well, though.
They did, yes. The Canadians in general have been doing well this year. I think there's a couple of Canadians that are coming down to the War Machine weekend for the Masters. So I know Tim Bahnke definitely is. He was like the Grand Master of MuseOnCon. He won literally everything. I think there are a couple of other Canadian players, and I can't place their name because they're not the phenomenal person that is Tim Bahnke. So, but yeah, there's a couple of Canadians there coming down for that. The other part of why the U.S. didn't do quite so well, at least from a finances perspective, is probably because the fundraiser didn't do particularly well this year. I don't think that the teams themselves fundraised at all where they have in the past, and the fundraiser for the commentary didn't go very well either, so that makes it a little bit more challenging as well.
I think it's hard, because I suppose Twitter is where I learn these things, but I saw people chatting about it, and I guess it's kind of hard to get people to, because a lot of people here view it as you guys are getting a vacation to go
do this. To a certain degree, that's true.
And then they're not really viewing it as, like, fundraising to try and help and support our teams that we have here.
Yeah.
But it... I don't know. There was other countries talking about it too, and Australia is like, we have the same expenses. Mm-hmm. Like, it costs us the same amount of money for you guys to get over there too.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
We just figure it out. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
Was also when they were doing the fundraiser. That was also when the game was at its lowest. That was before most of the theme forces came out. It mm-hmm. was really when the game felt like an unfinished beta that we were playing.
Yeah.
But now that we're halfway through the beta, people are starting to jump back on board again. So maybe next year it'll be better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Kind of like what Alex said, I would hate to see us not go.
I mean, we'll be going next year for sure. It's in Poland next year, and Poland is dirty, dirty cheap to stay in. So if you can fly there, you can make it work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But... yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
It'd be interesting to see where it is out in Poland, in terms of the fact that if it's some of the big cities, I'm maybe feel a little bit more comfortable than maybe out in the sticks. There's kind of a worry in terms of people that are somewhat more diverse in terms of actually wanting for safety, and that's something that I'm going to get in touch with the organizers for the WTC about.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah, that at least has a personal worry.
Yeah, that's I can totally get that, particularly with... I know Russia is particularly xenophobic when it comes to trans issues, women's versus men's gender roles, things like that. I'm not sure how Poland is, that said, but I imagine just proximity, they... My preconceived notion is they can't be too dissimilar as far as that goes. So that's... the rumor mill has it that it's going to be close to Warsaw, that said, so you might be okay.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it at least. Yeah. But yeah, that's going to be something that I need to think about for next year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Aaron wants to know when you're going to play next.
I don't know.
There you go, Aaron.
It's been busy around here.
If Aaron's looking for a game, I'm looking for games. So
you've been playing a lot lately.
I have. I've probably at least tripled, if not quadrupled, the number of marketing games I've played in the last, 3 weeks. So... Mm-hmm.
I'm finding it difficult to play.
Yes.
Table, stomach.
Yeah, that's not a thing.
No. I was hopeful, but yeah. Oh, well.
That's all right. I don't know. I think my main thing is I just like to hang out with everybody on Fridays. When eventually I get out there on a Friday when I'm not working or have company over.
Yeah, you guys have been busy
lately. It's been like a month since we've been out.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was the Destiny 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah, on Destiny for 3 weeks. Yep. Yep. Month and a half then. Yep. And
coming Friday, we might come up to Baraboo, actually. I can't make it to Wednesday this week just because of work, but I'm off Friday, so
it'll be fun.
We might show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Usually.
Cool. We should, too, because we don't have any plans or company or random things happening this time.
Yeah,
so.
Bring your stuff. We'll play. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my goal is to get the minimum 3 games a weekend until War Machine weekend, at least, just to continue to get the reps in. I finally learned my own rules for Halo 3, so that's a plus. knowing what your own shit does, yeah.
Yep.
It helps. Yep. And re-remembering what rules have changed and what rules have not, that's another thing. But, yeah, no, it's actually, I've gotten to the point now where I feel like I'm not getting completely steamrolled every game, so that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And more reps only help with that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to take a lot of games to get back into the swing of it.
Yeah, it does. And that's one of the unfortunate parts about a game that's as large as this is that the learning curve for being able to play well and not just get your shit crushed every time is relatively high. So
because getting your shit crushed in every time is very disheartening.
It is, yeah, yeah.
And then you don't want to play anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to persevere through it.
Yeah. Yep.
And keep going. Eventually you'll win.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually.
If you try.
Or if you play somebody who's even worse than you.
Yes.
Suck it, noob. Yeah. That is the only way I've squeaked out wins recently. So, oh, no, I got the bye at the Michigan GT. We had the team tournament, and we played one of the teams that was down a player, and I got the bye. So that was my one win for the weekend out of, 8 games. Done.
Still a win.
Yep.
Now the WTC is over, I'm really looking forward to playing some games. Just not having the high pressure of having to practice those certain lists.
Oh, that's fair. Mm-hmm.
And it felt like it was halfway through a meta as well. There was a whole bunch of things that were going to drop and make the game infinitely more playable.
Yes.
But yeah. Mm-hmm. So... getting in some reps against stuff, and the sad thing is, like you were saying, I hated the time when I was losing loads and loads and loads, and that was primarily because I just didn't know what other people's stuff did.
Mm-hmm.
And now that everybody's going to be able to play everything else, not just the power lists. I'm going to be like, and now I'm back to that point where I don't know what your stuff does. So yes, my win-loss is going to take a plummet soon.
Oh, somebody's asking if losing a lot tempts you to switch factions. Most definitely. Because you see the power factions like the Crix right now, the Ghost Fleet Dark Host. I know what that shit does already, and it's not that hard to do. Because mm-hmm. everything is ghostly, or you have a lot of in-court models that just makes mm-hmm. it easier, basically. And playing Crix well is not necessarily playing in easy mode, but you can play Crix poorly and still do okay. Mm-hmm.
But not just that, losing a lot might be informative of your own playstyle and whether or not it necessarily gels with the faction that you're playing. I started off in Kador and I lost so much. I could never get the hang of them. And it was purely because I just didn't necessarily get the whole axe to face thing.
Oh, sure.
And so sometimes that's kind of informative of just your own personal playstyle.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
I started out in Signar and have done okay in Signar, but I really enjoy the axe-to-face lists in Signar. Like, in Mark II, I played a lot of Striker 2. I'm playing Kray right now. Mm-hmm. Learning the Haley 3 Gravediggers list is weird, because it's not an axe-to-face list. It's a, can you hit me, and can you get rid of my stuff list? And do you want to have a miserable grind for 7 turns?
I probably would not be tempted, first off, because I already own the entire flippin' army. Second, don't want to buy another entire flippin' army / paint the entire flippin' army.
Oh, come to the dark side, Casey. We've got 5 factions in our house. 6 if you count Marshall.
Oh, I know. We have the same issue, but only that's one right.
You
mine.
Have John. You I have John. John is your issue.
Yes. And I need to get into playing, and if it got to the point where I lost. I just would probably just need to, get Kerr's or John's or someone's advice, how the fuck do I handle this stuff?
Yeah.
Or help me build some lists. Well, I don't know what I'm doing.
That's something I'm really struggling with right now, is there's a lot of Grimkin in the meta right now in Madison, and that's the one thing that I really struggle against is Grimkin. I don't really have a great solution to them. Haley 3 with the Gravediggers is okay. I really, really need to go first.
Yeah.
But, having the matchups is a problem. It's a thing, too. We kind of actually have a communal system in the Madison area where we're reasonably willing to lend each other our armies. So, I've got Crix, Signar, Convergence, Circle, and then some Legion. So we've got 5 factions. We've got a couple of other friends who have 3 or 4 factions. So we can basically cycle things around and literally play anything. So that's kind of nice to have people that are willing to share models to try out another faction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think what Alex said about kind of getting a faction that jives with you is mm-hmm. really important. And I think I got lucky I started with minions in Mark II and they sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And then Aaron told me about Scorn and how I could play minions in mm-hmm. Scorn. And it's like, okay, this works because I still play what I want. And then it makes them better. Mm-hmm. But once Mark III came around, I kept trying to do that same thing. And it's like, I can't. And I just, with the... with the spells affecting friendly faction models,
mm-hmm.
I was like, well, my stuff's not friendly faction anymore.
Yeah.
So I went back to minions and I still did what I liked doing, which is beating face.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I think Alex hit it on the head. You got to get a faction that jives with you. And only that way you can maybe not lose mm-hmm. eventually. Jim wanted to know, what do we think of the theme boxes?
Yes.
I know we just got a Circle theme box because Keith won an event and that was just one of the things that came with the prize support. There's some stuff I could take in there. There's some stuff we could leave. We already own pretty much all of Circle and aren't terribly interested in playing it right this minute. So it's that particular one's really pretty not very useful to us. Some of the other ones are okay, like the Crix one's fine. It's got a unit of mains with the UA. It's got a couple of jacks that are useful. The bone chickens. With theme forces, you really need 2 units of things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like we were thinking about picking up the Ret box just for the Dawnguard Sentinels and their UA as well. But we've already got one. That's the other faction we have. We have 6 factions. But it just seems like there's some superfluous garbage in there that you're not going to use, and you're going to wind up having the same problem with the previous battle boxes. Like, you've got a troll, somebody with trolls who has 8 impalers. What are you going to use 8 impalers for? Nothing.
Well, I mean, it just... they're always changing rules and whatnot.
Yeah.
So...
but they're never changing the starter boxes.
Yeah, why even bother with theme boxes?
I don't know.
I get having a small starter boxes.
Yeah.
But the theme box is just, it makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think it helps people get into a faction they might not have.
I don't know. That's what the starter boxes are for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it gets you, I don't know. I don't really care because it's like, I already have what I have.
Just lift up a couch cushion, you'll find another faction. That might be true. I've been thinking about branching out into Scorn, actually. I've always really liked the artwork and the aesthetic for Scorn, and I've always wanted an excuse to give them a try. So
if don't you borrow some.
See, communal.
You got me.
Communal war machine pieces.
We don't have everything, but we have stuff. So just let me know. Sellers remorse is a thing. I could sell my shuttle to start Crix, but then who knows?
Yeah, then you know, Crix will get hit real hard and and they're useless again.
That'll be interesting, actually, because I'm pretty sure that they're going to nerf the Crix pairing eventually. At the very least, anyone or the Coven, if not the entire theme force, just because they're hard to deal with for some, and some factions just don't have an answer to both.
Oh, sell my shuttle. Sell my Scorn. I was like,
sell your shuttle?
It did say shuttle.
I assumed he was talking about the game.
You got a shuttle. It's cool.
I mean, do you think the fact that the themes are going to be so much more widely branched that a lot of factions will now suddenly have the ability to take some of their answers to both the Crix lists?
It's kind of hard to say, to be perfectly honest with you. I know in Crix, there are some good Crix lists that are perfectly competitive that are not theme forces. Scar 1 runs out of theme relatively well. I actually played up against that in the Michigan GT. I played into it thinking, oh, it's Scorn, you know, or not Scorn, it's Crix, rather. It's out of theme. It's not the things that I was really the most nervous about. Shouldn't be a problem, right? Oh, it was a problem. he ran it with a unit of Satixis with the UA, a unit of Banes with the UA, a unit of Bane Cav with the UA, and then I think it was with the Kraken. Yeah, it was with the Kraken, with Scar 1, and it was actually a really good list. It had the stuff that gets up and in your face quickly. It had this stuff that follows up really well, and the Cav both get in your face quickly and follow up well. They hit quite hard. Mm-hmm. It was genuinely a good list, and with the feet, it's really, really hard for me to do anything about that until all of my stuff is dead, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Rick asked us, how do we feel about team versus solo formats?
Teams are iffy.
Teams make list chicken into much more of a thing.
Mm-hmm. It sure does.
Mm-hmm.
On my view of it, I have never really been a team person. So, like, I've always been into hobbies that were solo because I like to rely on myself, and I feel bad if I fuck up, or I feel bad if people fuck up for me. So, like, volleyball, I couldn't stand it because I like playing volleyball, but I just couldn't stand the coaches, to be honest.
Yeah.
So... I prefer solo, and that's why I was hoping to do solo at ATC this year. But...
I mean, you can do both team and solo. Just join my team. We're pretty much guaranteed to lose round one, and then we can drop out and play the solo.
Yeah.
Because that is the one announcement about the ATC that's kind of cool, is they have round one of the team tournament starts, and the round will end before the solo event starts. So if your team does horrifically badly and you want to drop of round one, then you can, and you can just join the solo masters, and you can still potentially qualify.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's my opinion.
So you can just scrub out like me, or with me if you want, and then we'll be set.
I kind of love the team formats as a dissenting voice, you know. I find it fascinating in terms of you've got the whole dynamic of picking the lists and everything like that. It does force people to play a little bit more conservatively at that point and build their lists a little bit more conservatively. But you do have that four-dimensional chess aspect that goes on top of it, and I really like that. It does force you to play either terrible matchups or matchups which are always a coin toss, it kind of feels like. And in that, it then becomes very much, because I'm on the competitive edge, I enjoy the game for its competitive edge. So actually going up against someone person to person rather than having a silver bullet for your list or something like that, forcing them to play chicken in that regards is actually somewhat fun.
I actually agree with that. I think I like the team format. I like solo too, that said, but I think I like the team format better than solo if I had to pick one or the other. Just the, like you said, like exactly like you were saying, the four-dimensional chess is, it's an interesting game to play. It's, kind of adds an extra dimension to the game, I think. It's, and then the pair-ups are always very interesting as well. Pair-ups that I would not necessarily have gotten into otherwise, to be honest with you. So
I do like that part of it too, where you can kind of be like, okay, I can't go into this, but I could probably do this.
Yeah, exactly. So it kind of, it almost evens out some of the pairings in some respects.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that is nice, other than just being something like, okay, I'm boned you're either stuck. Way.
Yeah, exactly.
It meant at the WTC though, I was thrown on both the Signar and the Ghost Fleet bullet constantly. And it's really interesting to see how different countries have a view of what's a good matchup and what isn't. Because universally, people thought Thexus into Ghost Fleet was terrible. But I've had my reps into that, and I've practiced that like nobody's business. It kind of feels a bit of a coin toss.
What do you have What do you have in the way of magic weapons in your Thexus list, out of curiosity?
Well, not very much, but I've got Sprays for Days with the Dredges. You've got Sprays for Days with the Dredges, so arcing sprays through that. You've got the Overlords, again, spraying everything. You've got Hex Blast, and it's not necessarily magic weapons, but it's more the ability to put spells out. If you want to put magic weapons, you hope for an objective mission where you can put it on one of your wreckers and deal with the Wraith Engine.
Yeah.
But otherwise you spend your time TKing it or playing the field otherwise by just trying to add attrition. And I've had a couple of times with, especially when you put Elixir in, that you can just keep recycling those corpses and keep driving them down because you're a little bit more control with your feet. You have the ability to at least get one or two points up on scenario and then play for turn seven.
And that's how you get the miserable recursion grind fest. My favorite. Yeah, there's a lot of recursion right now, just in general in the broad game. Like I've got Insignar, Krix is playing recursion for days. Lots of Grimkin recursion. Thexus has recursion. It's being able to bring models back is kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. That's annoying as fuck.
It is.
Yep. And once you take those things out that take that do the recursion, it's like yep.
Gotta take my caster.
well, in that instance, yes. Yeah, but I'm thinking of Grimkin.
Sure,
I can't think of what it is, but
the pair of solos. I can't remember the their chicks. Names, but the chicks. Yeah.
Yeah, those bitches. Well, do we have anything else?
I think that's maybe it. Besides recommendations.
Did you explain that to Alex?
Recommendations. So we come up with something we recommend. It doesn't necessarily have to be War Machine related. Mm-hmm. Like, my recommendation is going to be, I am a person who hates kitchen gadgets pretty much universally. I found one that's actually pretty sweet, though. It's called a vegetable spiralizer, and it makes it really easy to cut, like, a vegetable, like a zucchini, into, like, spiral-cut noodles, basically, is what they're shaped like.
Hmm.
And it's really nice for stir-fry. So I've been eating a lot of stir-fry, because I can make vegetables into cut them very quickly and easily. So that's my recommendation.
Nifty.
I have a second recommendation while we're on the subject of sexy models. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, the anime series. It is so spectacular. It is full of these beefcake men. They're constantly striking poses, and it's actually a well-done anime besides that. It's they styled it in such a way that the anime is supposed to be a reflection of the manga, which most mangas are very pose-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
It's glorious, though. The whole series is great. I'm only up through the second saga, which is through not Joseph Joestar, but Jonathan Joestar, the second. He's the second. The third one's coming out in English right now, I think, actually. But it's a great series. I highly recommend it.
All right. John and I watched Why Him on HBO the other night. It was quite hilarious.
What's it about?
It has James Franco and, God darn it, I forgot his name. The guy that from Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the guy who plays Heisenberg. And so, of course, pardon?
Bryan Cranston.
Yes, Bryan Cranston. So, of course, his daughter wants to get with James Franco, and it is, he's a little over the top, is how I'm going to word it, and it was really funny. Of course, you have that little thing that happens where it's just like, oh no, it's going to happen next. But no, it was really enjoyable overall. We weren't sure if we were actually going to like it or not, but it turned out to be pretty funny.
Does he play, so he's the dad, right?
Yeah.
So is he like, kind of like when he was Hal and Malcolm in the Middle, is he kind of like that?
He's more like that because he has hair.
Oh my God. I think I want to watch this now.
I like how that's Casey's definition. Has hair, does not have hair. Which character is he more like?
Exactly.
I love Malcolm. That's such a good show.
You good?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, as Aaron said, my recommendation actually was going to be Shark Island. So at Gen Con, we were invited to the VIP party, and we got Shark Island for free because they were doing raffles. And we've been playing it. We played it twice now. It's all about a shark, obviously. So the shark is terrorizing the island, and the shark has an objective to win, and the hunters are trying to kill the shark, and that's how they win. So it's a lot of fun because, you get like different scenarios. They're like, I can't think of what they're called. They're different tiles that pop up where the shark has to hide in, and then there's fake fins that the shark will lay down too, and the hunters have to try and find you. And the first time we played it, we were really tired and giggly, but I was the shark because I'm pro sharks. Because first I wasn't happy about the game because I'm like, I don't like condoning shark violence because sharks are not mean things. But anyway,
sharks are friends, not food.
Yes. Stop picking on sharks. What was I gonna say? So I think the hunters found me, and George was just yelling bang the entire time because he had a gun and he was very tired and falling asleep.
She means drunk.
Probably a little bit. And Aaron, I think, was the guy in the helicopter, and I attacked him. So we were like, theoretically, I jumped out of the water and bit the tail of the helicopter, and that's how I got him, because how was a shark realistically going to?
So you could say, he didn't jump the shark jumped him.
So, but it's a lot of fun. I like playing the shark because you have your own objective, and like one of the objectives is getting the mayor of the island fired, or closing the whole island down. So it's kind of neat.
I approve of sharks getting into politics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's my recommendation.
I can recommend a book series by Becky Chambers. It would be A Long Way to a Small Angry Planet and A Closed and Common Orbit. They're really, really fantastic examples of queer and feminist sci-fi. It's, utterly brilliant. And if you can find them, I would highly recommend getting them, not just for the content, but the fact that they're gloriously well written.
Perfect.
I've got a next series to read, though. I'm almost through Deathgate, so you should send me that in the message, Alex, so I remember. But yes, that'll be the next series.
Yeah, we can link it to the page, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Well, I think that's it. I think Danielle is messaging Andy right now.
Oh, come on. That's no fun. Andy! Andy!
He messaged, he's like, give me a minute, like, heads up, and I'm like, sorry, you have seconds.
It's not a podcast if we don't yell for Andy. You can't just text him.
Sorry, Andy.
Well, we want to throw a big thank you out to Alex for joining us. Hope to have her on more.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we'll see you guys next time. We'll post on Facebook, hopefully at least a week early, well, maybe.
Yeah, we're not very good at
planning. We're terrible at planning.
I think we need to.
Who needs it? Happens to other people, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, just at the holidays, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because at some point I'm going to pop, and that, yeah.
I thought you weren't going to pop until February.
Well, if I come early, it'll be January, and
that's
then...
true, that's true. Maybe it'll be in time for the ATC, so you can join the
I'll be like, well, like, the ATC, like, oh, shit.
Yep.
Gotta go.
not hemorrhaging, guys, really.
You got the win. For now.
All right. Alrighty. Later. I think we're good. See you guys.
I think we're good.
Okay. Bye, Alex.
Thanks for having me on.
Mm-hmm. See you, Alex.